I have something else here I want to share that's a little different judgment that could happen on America, but I think it's very, very interesting and may answer some questions from the scriptures. And I think we've probably got enough time for me to get this in, so let me share this with you. It will be on the site, and I think we'll call it Babylon Falls as the Sun and the Moon are Darkened. And, you know, Isaiah 13:1 speaks about the fall of Babylon. And if you don't know already that the clearest type of America in the scriptures is Babylon, then you need to look into it a little bit, because Babylon was exactly what America is today. It was the great eagle at the head of the nations. And it ruled during 70 years in which God's people were tormented, tribulated. And the Lord spoke to me one time and told me that that represented the last 7 years. Because at the end of the 70 years, Babylon was destroyed. Well, Isaiah 13 speaks about the fall of Babylon. And it says in verse 1, it says, "The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. And behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with fierce anger, to make the land a desolation, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Now listen to this. "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. And the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine." Now, I've often wondered what could cause this, you know, at the fall of Babylon, okay? Now, basically, that's what this is going to be about. I'm going to share with you. God goes on in verse 11. He says, "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than pure gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger." Well, have you ever wondered how the sun, the moon, and the stars could be darkened when Babylon falls in just 1 hour? And it also says that the smoke of her torment shall be seen afar off, right? Revelation 18. What could cause this? Well, we know, and we've talked about, you know, how that nuclear weapons upon the cities of America and the world, because it did say the world would be punished at the same time, could account for some of the ash in the atmosphere, which blocks the light. Such a great, you know, nuclear release or exchange obviously could do this, but it also could cause something that came to me years ago about the earth plates being stressed. You know, they go for so long in a stressed mode, and then they suddenly release, and that's what we call an earthquake. Well, you know, any great shaking, like a nuclear shaking, a release of nuclear weapons worldwide, could release this stress. It could stress relieve the plates, in other words. And, of course, that could set off volcanoes and cause even more ash to be. But I want to share one other scenario with you that, you know, I don't believe God has ever set up a curse on this earth that he didn't ultimately use. You take the West Coast over there. Everybody's got their eyes on the West Coast. Why? Because it appears like that God has prepared by nature a place there for judgment to fall. And it appears, too, that he's brought an awful lot of sinners there in order to judge them. Now, there's other places around the world that are just like that. You know, New Orleans with Katrina. Everybody knew what would happen, and it ultimately did. And, you know, so what else is he prepared in nature for an ultimate judgment? Well, that's what I want to share something with you that just came to my attention that I actually parts of it I've heard before, but it's been put together really well to understand. Now, the first thing that came to me was Dimitri Dudeman's testimony. In his testimony, an angel showed him how that the sin cities in America would be nuked. And then he was told that America will burn. And then he asked, how will America burn? It's so powerful. And then an angel said, the Russian spies have discovered where the most powerful nuclear missiles are in America. And it will start with the world calling for peace and peace. Then there will be an internal revolution in America started by the communists. The government will be busy with the internal problems. And then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries, which I can't remember, will attack. And the Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America, and America will burn. Well, notice that. The bombardment of nuclear missile silos, and then America burns. Now, we think that's because they couldn't get their missiles off. But many people have had dreams, actually, that America did get a lot of missiles off, and maybe it came out of their subs or whatever, you know, but they did get a lot of missiles off. And that's why the verse we read in Isaiah chapter 13 speaks of punishing the world. It's not just America that's going to fall here. The world is going to be punished at this time. Well, Dimitri Dudeman's revelation called The Mountain, an angel came to him and said, come with me and I will show you what it will be like when America burns. And he took me down to the backyard of the pastor's house, and all around me the trees and the houses were exploding, and fire erupted from the ground, and the natural gas pipes exploded. He said, this is what it will be like when America burns. Well, what could bombarding the missile silos or nuclear bomb facilities have to do with the fire erupting from the ground, from underground, and setting off gas pipelines? Well, this could be done with nuclear bombs or missiles, which could set off the Hugoton Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve, which is under most of America. In most cases, it's very deep underground. In a few cases, it's very close to the surface. In this case, we're talking about it's only 50 feet from the surface. And this is in a place called Pantex, which is just outside of Amarillo, Texas. Pantex is where America stores its larger nuclear weapons. This would certainly be a strategic bombing target. There's no doubt that it is targeted by nuclear weapons. It is targeted. They have to take this out first before getting hit. Well, if this gas range is breached by a combination of nuclear weapons and or our stored nuclear weapons going off, oxygen would be permitted to mix with the gas, and explosions and fires could devastate America. And I'm going to explain to you in a few minutes how this could happen. But this would breach gas mains, which would also let oxygen into it to mix with gas and explode across America. You know, a gas main is safe from exploding. It can't explode. As long as it's under pressure, it can't explode. But if you breach it and the pressure goes down to zero, then it's very, very dangerous. All right? Then it can explode. Even the smallest little hole, once a line has lost its pressure, can then permit the flame to go inside and to explode it when the oxygen is there, you see. Well, let me share with you a much more descriptive account of how oxygen is getting into the underground gas reserve right now because of Lake Meredith, which is about to run dry and is running dry. In fact, it's almost like a mud hole now. This water, in effect, has sealed the oxygen out of the gas field, the underground gas field. But it's running dry, and it's necessary for them to constantly put water down in the ground to keep this seal working. Okay. Now, there's a site that gives a pretty good description of this. It's theamericannightmare.org. Okay. Now, I'm not recommending their interpretation of prophecies, but their description of this underground field and what could happen and what is happening right now, I think is very good. You know, the mountain revelation that Demetri had, it was all about getting on the mountain because America was burning. Get on the mountain or you will burn, God told him. And the mountain, of course, was Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And it is our place of safety. So I'm not telling you this to frighten you, just to show you how Scripture can actually come to pass. And in this case, how those Scriptures concerning Babylon could actually come to pass. America's largest corporations are deserting ship right now. Both Google and Yahoo have quietly moved to China. IBM has moved much of its operations to India. America's largest war contractor has moved to Dubai, taking its billions of U.S. tax-free defense dollars with it. Halliburton has already moved from Houston to Dubai. America's automakers have quietly moved their best-paying jobs and their assets to foreign soil. All of our major oil companies now have headquarters in foreign countries. And our own president has purchased land for a residence in South America when he leaves office. And the question is asked in this particular article, do they know something we don't know? Well, yeah, I think they do know some things that the average American doesn't know. Well, they're pointing out about this particular problem in the gas fields, but obviously there are many other things that are coming down the road, too, that they have studied and don't want to tell the American people, like military problems and economic problems and all these things, okay? So I'm not denying any of that. Let me read this article. It says, while many will try to claim that what you're about to read is not true by advancing every opinion they can come up with to try to disprove it, the fact is that it is true and proven. The science behind what you're about to read is well established and easy to grasp. First, I'm sure you know you cannot remove anything from anywhere without it being replaced by something else. For example, You cannot even remove a chair from your living room without it being replaced by air. Failure to replace any removed material creates a vacuum, and call it the law of replacement. The water in underground aquifers has been heavily pumped by irrigation farmers, which has lowered the water levels by 100 feet, and as a result created a partial vacuum in the aquifers. The aquifers lie beneath the HP natural gas reserve. The vacuum from the removed water consequently sucks all the replacement water the energy companies have been pumping into America's natural gas reserve for the purpose of extracting gas. Downward to fill the void in the aquifer, to suck it down into the aquifers, okay? In other words, what they do in order to pressurize the gas to bring it up out of the ground is they pump water down into the ground. I used to work at Exxon in Baton Rouge, and we had outside of Baton Rouge there was the Sorrento salt domes, and they pumped salt water down into the ground, called it brine, pumped brine down into these salt domes in order to force the fluids that they were or gases that they had in there out. And so basically they do that with the gas that's trapped underneath the earth. As they use water, push it down in there to pressurize it and to bring it out, okay? And that water eventually just sinks down into the earth and draws a vacuum above it as it sinks down, okay? That's what he's talking about here. So let me read on. It says, as a result, a partial vacuum is then created in our natural gas reserves, which in turn draws oxygen into the reserves from the surface of the earth, mostly through vent pipes created in the drilling process. But obviously there are many other fissures in the earth that you can draw this down, oxygen down through. Effectively converting our gas reserves into an extremely volatile bomb made of natural gas and oxygen. Although the gas reserves cover a lot of area beneath America, the aquifers are even more enormous. So removing a 100 feet depth of water created a tremendous amount of vacuum to suck down the replacement water used by the energy companies for the purpose of extracting gas. which by comparison amounts to just a few inches of water in depth. According to the Environmental News Network, quote, for fossil aquifers such as the vast U.S. Ogallala aquifer, depletion brings pumping to an end. Farmers who lose their irrigation water have the option of returning to lower yield dry land farming if rainfall permits. In more arid regions, however, such as in the southwest United States, the loss of irrigation water means the end of agriculture. In the United States, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that in parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, three leading grain-producing states, the underground water table has dropped by more than 30 meters or 100 feet. As a result, wells have gone dry on thousands of farms in the southern Great Plains. Although this mining of underground water by farming is taking a toll on U.S. grain production, irrigated lands account for only one-fifth of the U.S. grain harvest, compared with close to three-fifths of the harvest in India and four-fifths in China. Now that we've provided an expert source to refer to, allow us to remind you that the Panhandle portion of the Hugoton Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve we refer to in this article sits directly under the states of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. What you're about to read is accurate and true. According to its own official maps, America and both its neighbors sit on top of the Hugoton Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve, which is the largest natural gas reserve on Earth. In order to extract natural gas from what is basically an enormously large, interconnected, and dry set of chambers, America's energy companies have been pumping huge amounts of water into them for just under 100 years to force the gas out into pipelines and then on to processing plants. Note, in areas such as the Rocky Mountains, the HP Reserve consists of little more than dense oil-soaked layers of shale rock, for which reason it is not profitable to extract gas from those areas. Even so, several very rich oil fields coexist with the HP Natural Gas Reserve in these same areas of dense shale rock. In places such as South Texas, oil formations are much deeper and do not generally pose the problem we will be discussing. However, should our shallow natural gas reserve ever become ignited, the above areas would either explode or burn nevertheless. Once the gas in a given part of the chamber of our natural gas reserve reaches a point where it's no longer dense enough to be economical to extract, these energy companies simply move to areas that are more dense in hopes that the vacuum caused by the receding replacement water will eventually suck in enough gas from other areas of the reserve. You understand what he say about replacement water is when they pump it in there to push the gas out, it sits in there, but then it sinks down all the way down into the aquifers, you see, and it draws a vacuum above it. See, that's what they're saying. So, meanwhile, the law of gravity has been constantly pulling the replacement water they had previously filled that part of the chamber, the gas chamber with, into the water aquifers, which are located well below the gas chambers, leaving the partial vacuum that remains loaded with lower levels of natural gas. Granted, most of the overall gas reserve consists of fairly dense shale rock, but there are large chambers, wide open spaces, particularly in areas where the energy companies have been removing oil and natural gas within the same general areas. With nothing else to fill the void created by the reduced water level in the reserves, the resulting vacuum sucks air, oxygen, into these huge chambers from the surface of the earth, mostly through vent pipes left from the original drilling operation. or other places, as we'll see in a few minutes. Once the oxygen to gas ratio reaches 14%, the mix in this part of the reserve becomes volatile and subject to exploding if and when it is ever ignited. A mix of 21% oxygen to gas ratio causes that particular gas chamber to become a genuine, fully loaded bomb just waiting to be ignited. At a point just 30 miles north of Pantex, where America stores its larger nuclear weapons, the HP reserve is less than 50 feet below the surface of the Earth and subject to being breached by just anything falling from the sky, such as an airplane, a meteorite, or a bomb, so on. If that should ever take place, the entire North American continent would be subject to a series of explosions and fires until it literally ceases to exist, because the entire North American continent is literally perched on top of the HP reserve. So after the explosions, those parts that are made of heavily oil-laden shale rock would simply burn until there is nothing left, which means the dirt itself would burn. Sounds similar? Sounds exactly what Dmitry Dudeman was saying there. It should be noted that the U.S. government has had its military, its best experts, scientists from America's best university, as well as experts from the Chevron Oil Company, examine what you're about to read, and not one of them has been able to disprove any part of it. They know it's true, but there's no solution, so they don't dare tell you. Centralia, some of you probably heard of Centralia, Pennsylvania. It was consumed by an underground coal fire that still rages, and it's been raging for 50 years. And it eventually destroyed the whole town. Well, some will no doubt claim that we are sensationalizing the problem, and some will no doubt claim that fire cannot survive or even exist underground. Others will no doubt claim the catastrophe we're describing just simply cannot happen to America. However, just try telling that to the former residents of Centralia, Pennsylvania. Please note that the dirt itself was and is burning. Fire comes up through some 13 square miles, but covers an estimated 10,000 cubic miles of space under the earth. A tremendous fire underneath the earth, underneath that city, eventually just consumed the city. It now threatens to consume three other towns with no hope of putting it out. Problem is, natural gas is much more volatile than coal fire. Also, this source covers an estimated 4 billion cubic miles of space. It covers the entire North American continent. In places it lies just 50 feet beneath the surface and is taking on oxygen. The entire North American continent is perched directly on top of these gas reserves. The largest of the reserves within the Hugoton Panhandle complex is the Panhandle Reserve, which is located a few miles north of Pantex, which is just outside of Amarillo, Texas. At this location, this horrendous natural gas reserve is less than 50 feet below the surface of the earth. At only 50 feet, the roof of one chamber of the Texas Panhandle Reserve is shallow enough to be cracked and then set ablaze by almost anything falling from the sky, such as a falling star, a meteorite, or bombs attempting to bomb that nuclear storage facility there. This area has been referred to by local people as the Great Abyss because it's known to be immeasurable, which is the definition for the term abyss. Others simply refer to it as the bottomless pit. As this report continues, these titles will become extremely important. In our previous report, we described an underground fire which relied on coal as its fuel. But where coal is very slow to burn, natural gas ignites instantly. Also, where coal is seldom prone to explode, it is the very nature of natural gas to explode instantly when ignited. In order to be able to extract large amounts of gas, America's energy companies have been using twin locomotive-sized diesel engines at a place called Sanford, Texas, just north of Pantex, to turn incredibly huge water pumps. These pumps remove water from man-made Lake Meredith, created by a large dam constructed on the Canadian River, a little north of America's Pantex nuclear storage facility. Then they force the water down into the earth at Sanford, Texas. In other words, they are replacing the vacated area from which they have removed trillions of cubic feet of gas and oil with water that they pump from the Canadian River at Lake Meredith. The concept of forcing water into the gas reserve, which in turn forces gas to the surface and hopefully into pipelines, is called water replacement. Due to the Panhandle Reserve being overworked since the early 1900s, there are now huge pockets of natural gas all around the Pantex nuclear storage facility. However, in this instance, if the HP reserve ever explodes, it will not actually set off these nuclear weapons. No, indeed, the results will be far more catastrophic than if they all were to go off at once, because the explosion from the reserve will be far more powerful than the weapons themselves, and it will vaporize America's nuclear weapons and carry their radioactive particles into the atmosphere to be distributed all around the world. In the atmosphere, of course, you know, where we're talking about the darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars, the ash would obviously do that. I don't know if you've ever seen a computer-generated volcano plume, but I did one time, and it was very interesting. As the earth turned and it wobbled, this trail went all the way around the earth, and it broadened and it broadened and it broadened until it covered most of the earth and actually darkened the sun and the moon. And this happened, I believe, I'm trying to remember when it was, the 1500s, 1800s, whenever it wasn't Pompeii, it was, Krakatoa went off. Krakatoa went off, and it darkened, and it actually, there was like a nuclear winter for 3 years. And it shows in the rings of the trees, it shows in the earth, so on and so forth. This has actually happened. The sun and the moon and the stars were darkened for like 3 years. You almost had to look straight up to see it. If you looked at an angle, you couldn't see them, you see. Well, let me read on. In the year 1924, it was thought that this oil and gas reserve was limited to the Texas Panhandle, so it was appropriately called Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve. The early wells were given names based on the country in which they were drilled, such as Panhandle Wheeler County, Panhandle Carson County, Panhandle Gray County, Panhandle Hutchinson County, and so on. It was later discovered that these pockets of natural gas throughout the Panhandle were part of one giant reserve. In addition to encompassing the entire Panhandle of Texas, it was discovered that this giant reserve ran all the way across the state of Kansas. Kansas had already named its portion of the reserve the Hugoton Reserve. As the Hugoton and Panhandle reserves were found to be one and the same, they were simply referred to as the Hugoton Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve. Later, it was discovered that the massive Hugoton Reserve runs all the way across the entire state of Oklahoma and beyond, encompassing areas which, like Kansas, had already given their portion of this very same gas reserve names that best suited their liking. Eventually, it was discovered that the Hugoton Reserve runs all the way north into the state of Montana, and that for drilling purposes, it was tappable in almost any area along the way. Then, at a later time, it was discovered that the same gas reserve runs all the way to the most northern part of Canada, as well as all the way down to the southernmost part of Old Mexico, with its width extending from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, thereby encompassing the entire North American continent. What were thought to be numerous separate gas reserves throughout the country, each of which had previously been given names that suited the people in their region, were now understood to be part of the Yucatan Panhandle Natural Gas Complex. The following is but a partial list of names for other sections of what is now known as the Yucatan Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve, a.k.a. Powder River, San Juan, Uinta, Paradox, Williston Basins, Sweet Gas Arch, Central Montana Uplift, the Rocky Mountains, Louisiana Henry Hub, Trenton Black River Gas in southern New York, West Virginia Discoveries, Wyoming's Two Hubs, and the list goes on and on and on. Some of these places pump their own replacement water into the reserve. Others pay pumping stations as far away as Sanford, Texas, and beyond for providing their water replacement contribution because their location has no water to pump. Also, see the link to a recent article in the National Academies Press declaring in red text about halfway down the page that most production from the Yucatan Panhandle Complex in the state of Wyoming is connected to, or could be connected to, the BLM Helium pipeline and cliffside storage facility near Amarillo, Texas. Please take note that scientists call every one of the interconnected reserves by the name Yucatan Panhandle Complex, meaning they are connected. Okay. All of which proves that, in effect, what we have is essentially one common gas reserve that encompasses most of the area beneath the entire North American continent with a commonly used process, turning it into a literal bomb of unimaginable size, creating a potential disaster of biblical proportions without so much as one person ever trying to prevent it from happening. Well, I don't know anybody that has an idea of how to do that, but anyway. Government maintains that these sections of the reserve are not interconnected, most likely so it can allocate each section as a taxable entity. So, for tariff reasons, it has no other choice but to allow these different reserves to be treated as though they were independent. If not, issues of tax liability would arise among the oil companies. Although the government will claim that these are different reserves and that they are not connected, a look at their own official photograph clearly shows us otherwise. Why does it matter if they are interconnected? In the year 2005, natural gas geysers began sprouting up all around the town of Kingfisher, Oklahoma, which is about 250 miles west of the pumping station in Sanford, Texas. I was privileged one time over in Louisiana to see a gas well that had blown out and was shooting a flame up into the air, probably 100 feet in the air. And it was screaming so loud that you just can't imagine there's that much pressure of gas down in the earth. But that's what it was doing, and it blew that way for weeks, you know. And if you got close to it, it would actually hurt you. The vibration of it would actually hurt your chest. You had to back off away from it. And you're just awed to think, wow, that's a lot of gas that they're just wasting. It took them that long to actually cap this thing and stop it, you know. But it blew out, you see. Well, this is what they're talking about here, natural gas geysers sprouting up around this town of Kingfisher, Oklahoma. It's interesting to note that Kingfisher is more than 2,152 feet lower in elevation than the Sanford pumping station. And when they pressurized the cavity in the earth known as the Panhandle Reserve with the pumping station in Sanford, Texas, the gas naturally goes downhill, finding the path of least resistance, which is exactly what it did until it made its way out of the ground in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. The significance of these, again, there's a hole in the earth that when it does sink down and it starts pulling in oxygen, okay? The significance of these geysers is that gas does indeed travel laterally through cracks in the earth, which makes each of us susceptible to destruction. We simply cannot compress underground gas in an area that exceeds 4 billion cubic miles and not expect it to make its way to the surface of the earth. Although this report may well seem sensational to some, we are not making the problem worse than it actually is. The point being conveyed through these events is that gas does travel laterally through cracks in the earth's soil and rock, and since it does, when oxygen is introduced in any given gas cavity of the Yucatan Preserve, every one of these interconnecting cracks and crevices will likely receive oxygen, creating a massive maze of fuses similar to a dynamite fuse. Since the reserve has already begun taking in oxygen, as we will later prove, if one cavity is ever ignited or exploded, every cavity within the North American continent will eventually either explode or burn. But as long as its source is under pressure, natural gas will simply spew out an enormous flame if ignited, because the pressure will force the flame outward and away from the source of the gas. This is the same concept that makes our natural gas kitchen stoves 100% safe. You see, because as long as it's under pressure, the flame cannot get in and find oxygen in order to explode. So it's the same with the underground situation. When it's no longer under pressure, then the oxygen goes in and mixes, and then it's can be quite explosive. We could continue about the dangers of living on top of the HP reserve, and about the calamity we would all face if it ever explodes, and about the natural gas geysers that are springing up all due to man's pressurizing cavities in the earth with their water replacement process. But we doubt that doing so would mean much unless we first provide you with positive proof that such a danger does exist. So, using scientifically proven facts along with the plain common logic, the remainder of this report is dedicated to explaining that that, how, and why the HP reserve is indeed taking on oxygen. It's a phenomenon that has become more active with each passing year and with no known remedy in sight. In Hutchinson, Kansas, pressurized gas came spewing up out of the earth into an unsuspecting wedding and party supply store in downtown Hutchinson. To quote M. Lee Allison of the Kansas Geological Survey, quote, "Explosions and fires on January the 17th through 18th, 2001, burned businesses and killed two people in Hutchinson, a town of 40,000 in central Kansas. A mobile home park exploded from the very same natural gas leak. However, it was 3 miles away from the exploded store, which demonstrates that natural gas most definitely does move laterally through cracks, crevices in the earth, and documents that which we will now demonstrate is potentially the most horrendous threat any nation on earth has ever had to contend with." So, in other words, this didn't come from a gas line. It came from underground gas. Okay. Some will claim a natural gas requires exactly 14% oxygen to support an explosion. Others will tell you that 21%. But let them try telling their absurd exactly 14% or 21% oxygen defense to the thousands of people who lost their homes due to natural gas explosions last year, because gas escaped into the atmosphere of their house. It has been discovered that the entire city of Fort Worth, Texas, sits on an extremely dense section of this same gas reserve. Incredibly, people are drilling gas wells in their backyards and tearing down churches and schools in order to do so. there have been over 700 new gas wells drilled in 2006 alone, with most of them in people's backyards. Well, each one of these, of course, is an opportunity, you know, as the water sinks to bring oxygen into the underground gas reserve. Aside from certain hot spots such as Fort Worth, you could drill a hole and run into the HP reserve at just about any place in North America. The certified information documented in the following link shows how one singular company is drilling the HP reserve in the states of Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, North Dakota, Kansas, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Louisiana, New Mexico, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. This is just one out of hundreds of such companies. Water replacement creates enormous problems. As part of the water replacement process, all the water pumped into the reserve to force gas and oil to the surface is subjected to gravity, which means the replacement water is constantly being sucked towards the center of the earth into water aquifers, which are located beneath the gas reserve, leaving behind extremely large, incredibly dangerous, vacuum-like, fume-laden, empty spaces that used to be full of oil and natural gas. Therefore, in order to be safe, the very process of water replacement requires that a never-ending supply of water must be pumped into the cavity which once contained oil and gas. Otherwise, the continuously receding water level creates a fume-laden semi-vacuum, which in time will be partially filled with gas from other sections of America's gas reserve, and with atmospheric air, which contains oxygen, which will enter mostly through vent holes left from drilling operation, creating an extremely volatile gas and oxygen bomb just below the surface of the entire North American continent. A major concern is that many of the places that extract gas from America's gas reserve are running out of water to satisfy their water replacement contribution. Yeah, one reason is, of course, farmers are needing more and more water, and their water table is sinking, and so on and so forth. As we will soon document, even their main source of replacement water at gargantuous Lake Meredith is almost depleted. The state of Kansas is but another very prime example of depleted replacement water, to wit. As stated by renowned engineer Lester Wilkinson, local Kansas usage of natural gas will be important. Quote, whether there'll be enough water to pump it is another matter. There's links all down through here. I'm jumping over the links, but you can go on our site when we put it on there and you can look. Read the links. So that you will have some idea as to the extent of the problem resulting from a shortage of water for pressurization, you might ask your plumber if a minutely small natural gas leak can support a flame. Then ask him how much of a head start he would like to have so he can begin running before you light a match to even the smallest leak, when it's known that the pipe the leaking gas is coming from is not under pressure, and that it has some oxygen in it. Well, then it's, of course, just a big bomb, you know. The point being, once oxygen is introduced, unless the gas is under pressure to blow the flame away from the source, any ignition at all will travel through the most minute but open crack, seam, crevice, leak, or any path at all, to every source of fuel, gas, and oxygen that might be available in adjacent chambers. Under these circumstances, a flame will instantly travel to multiple sources of gas and oxygen throughout the interconnected open cavities beneath the entire North American continent known as the Hugoton Panhandle Natural Gas Reserve, and create the only source for an explosion of biblical proportion ever known to man. You know, not too far from here, two of my sons work for Pensacola Motorsports. And a concrete truck backed in next to a building over there a couple of years ago. and it sunk in the ground, and it busted a cast iron 6-inch gas line. And that gas was spewing up straight up out of that hole with the guy jumped off the truck and ran, and it comes spewing up out of that hole all around that truck. And it was right there next to the building that my son's working in. And Mark, one of the mechanics there, ran out there to get his truck out of the way, cranked his truck up, and blew the thing up. And it burned him, and it burned his truck up, burnt my son's truck up, which he was very happy because he was able to get a new truck. So he was glad it burned it up. But it was some kind of an explosion and a very tall, spewing flame going up into the sky there. And it burned up all their jet skis and burned up the boats and burned up a bunch of cars at the key up next door. And it just burned up that whole block there, you know. It was interesting. As an added note, in all other places on Earth that have been blessed with natural gas, the gas is hundreds of feet below the surface of the Earth and not subject to the same potential explosion problems. You know, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the earth shall remove out of its place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Every man shall turn to his own people and flee to his own land, etc. Behold, I will stir up the Arabs against thee, and they shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. That's Isaiah 13, 10, 13, and 17. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. As for these reserves not being interconnected, we're not saying that the air passages the size of Holland Tunnel connect all of America's natural gas reserves. What we are saying is that there is no such thing as a solid piece of airtight rock that separates them. The reasons for the plumber analogy is obvious. As the replacement water in one section of the reserve seeps towards the center of the earth, due to gravity, it will leave behind a vacuum. That vacuum will suck in gas from other sections of the reserve through tiny crevices, cracks, porous shale-type rock, while simultaneously sucking in oxygen from the surface of the earth, eventually filling all of these depleted sections and their interconnecting leak sources with both gas and oxygen, which, if any portion of the reserve ever becomes ignited, will turn every leak source between one section and all the other sections of the reserve into a system of dynamite-like fuses, which will simultaneously ignite every section of the entire reserve, creating an explosion that will be of unimaginable proportion, encompassing the entire North American continent, all of which would take place within about a single hour. Interesting. It doesn't take long for it to travel around, is what they're saying. The underground connections also explain why a given reserve may at times be declared to be depleted, then years later declared to once again have sufficient amounts of gas to be commercially pursued. Over time, the vacuum that results from the water subsiding deep into the earth will suck gas and air through cracks and crevices that interconnected it to other regions where gas is still plentiful, thereby refilling the depleted reserve to some degree, as well as turning these cracks and crevices into fuses by filling them with this mixture of gas and oxygen. While the depleted reserve is sucking natural gas back into itself from other sections of gas reserve, it is simultaneously sucking oxygen in from the surface of the earth through vent pipes created during the drilling process, creating one horrendous bomb of a magnitude the world has never imagined, nor could it ever possibly imagine. If under these conditions the Panhandle Gas Reserve is ever ignited, no matter what name the locals have given it, every gas reserve underneath the entire North American continent will simultaneously explode. and the entire continent will become history, non-existent within just one single hour. Hey, that sounds like something the book of Revelation talks about. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. The really bad news is the minute the pumps stop working that are being used to pump water from the Lake Meredith into the HP Reserve, which will happen as the Canadian River dries up, the gargantuan reservoir of water man has created within the HP Reserve will sink into the earth due to the gravity, creating a very temporary extreme vacuum, which will then suck even more atmosphere down into what has been a reserve of replacement water, and thereby providing all the oxygen needed to explode the entire HP Reserve. Remember what we saw, that you have to keep pumping the water, otherwise it sucks in the air. And this lake, which hasn't dried up since it was made, is now drying up. Okay, so they're going to stop pumping the water, which will cause it to suck in the air. Let me finish reading here. I got one more page. Lake Meredith is a huge dam surrounded on three sides by giant 200-foot high cliffs. The following local Channel 11 TV news report proves that the flow of water from the Canadian River into Lake Meredith has all but stopped. According to Kent Satterwhite, general manager of the Canadian River Municipality Water Authority, in the year 2004, Lake Meredith lost roughly 40,000 acre-feet to evaporation and pumped about 58,000 acre-feet of water at a time when inflow measured only 38,000 acre-feet for the whole year. He said that 2001 set an all-time low for inflow, and that even that record was broken in 2002, only to be broken again in 2003. But that prior to the drought, an average inflow would be around 122,000 acre-feet. In addition to evaporating and pumping, officials estimated it may be losing up to 40,000 acre-feet a year to salt cedar trees. On April the 1st, 2004, the water flow into Lake Meredith was only 10 cubic feet per second, down from as much as 700 cubic feet per second, turning most of Lake Meredith into not much more than a giant mud hole, with most of its boats, ramps, in fact, closed. In June of 2006, High Plains Water District Manager Jim Conkright stated that at its full capacity, Lake Meredith is 101 feet deep or more. Right now, it's approximately 56 feet deep, which is an all-time low, and it's only 8% full. With 11 West Texas City members of the CRMWA, 8% is not enough, so the city of Lubbock, Texas is looking for another source for its water. Note, Lake Meredith, which the locals now refer to as Lake Grasslands because what was its bottom is now a grassy field, is a saucer-shaped, with the center area much deeper and much smaller than its outer areas. So, in the absence of its normal water flow, the vast majority of Lake Meredith is now nothing but a grassy field or a swampy mud hole. Watch as the water runs from Lake Meredith like sand through an hourglass. When Lake Meredith runs completely dry, where will the HP Reserve turn for its water replacement requirements? If you think natural gas is a problem when it's under pressure, just consider what is going to take place when there's no more water available to pressurize it. Wherefore, just as the natural gas line coming into your home, it's It's the fact it's under pressure that prevents the gas from acting like a bomb, whereas the pressure is constantly preventing the fire from entering its pipe and exploding. Just ask any plumber. Lake Meredith in June of 2006 had already been reduced from its normal 190-foot depth to only 56 feet deep. As of 2007, October, Lake Meredith, Texas, has been reduced to little more than a giant mud hole. There's no longer enough water in sections of lake grassland to swim in. The problem is Lake Meredith, a normally 100-foot deep man-made lake surrounded by steep cliffs, which has always been the water source for the pumping station at Sanford, Texas, which supplied replacement water for gas wells as far away as northern Montana, has now been reduced to little more than a giant mud hole, and our energy company's water replacement process has all but run out of water to pump. Once this process can no longer be maintained, we as Americans are in serious trouble. As a matter of cold hard facts, at this point in time, Lake Meredith is less than 2% full, and the drought is so bad that the Canadian River no longer even gets to the lake. It's now out of water 100 miles. It's now runs out of water 100 miles northwest of it. So basically what they're saying is that when they run out of water to keep separating the oxygen from the gas, then they're going to be a lot more mixture of water, of gas and oxygen, and anything that breaches one of these shallow caves of gas would, in effect, set it off, and it would, in fact, set off the others. So, who knows? A lot of this is very deep underground, but portions of it are not. As you've noticed, geysers can pop up in weak spots, which could obviously explode like that one in Louisiana did, and the thicker places probably wouldn't do that, but the thinner, weaker places closer to the top of the ground probably would. In other words, you could have fire all over America from this one situation here. It sounds feasible to me. They say that the government has studied it and not come up with a solution. And it could be part of the reason why the sun and the moon are darkened. Another one people have obviously thought about is the super volcano, you know, which they say, actually the Bible code says, would go off in 2010. That could be another source. But I'm thinking that the timing of Isaiah 13, the fall of Babylon, is the time of the beginning of the day of the Lord. And after 7 days is when the day of the Lord starts. After the 70th week of Daniel, the day of the Lord starts. So it tells you there that the sun and the moon are going to be darkened, and the stars are going to withdraw their shining, and Babylon is going to be judged at that time. Well, whatever happens, you know, whether it's due totally to a nuclear exchange or whether it's due to the gas field underneath America also going off, similar to something like Dmitry Dudeman saw, or whether it's a combination of the two, it is extremely possible that both of those will happen and cause that to happen at the end of the 7-year tribulation. That is definitely where it's going to happen. Babylon or America is definitely going to fall at the end of the tribulation. If you don't believe that, you need to watch the video series on the front of our site, unleavenedbreadministries.org, The Fall of America and the Rise of the Saints. It's a video series that's right near the top there on the front of the site. You can watch that. You'll see the timing very plainly from the scripture for when America is attacked by the nations and is destroyed by the nations. Well, it looks like this is one of those setups that God has planned for a long, long time. It's kind of like the West Coast over there, Katrina, as I pointed out, and the shelf out in the Atlantic that could release a tsunami against the East Coast. And all these setups that the Lord has put together for a time and for a season, they've been there kind of to warn men, you know. They look at this and they say, wow, that could happen one day, you know. But there's also prophecies that these different things have actually happened. It's almost like, do you know that man has never created a weapon that they haven't ultimately used? Well, what about God? Has he created natural weapons out there that he's never going to use? I don't think so. The great and terrible day of the Lord that the Bible speaks about is just that, great and terrible. The devastation of the continents, the devastation of planet Earth, even the heavens roll up as a scroll in this judgment. And every mountain falls, and every wall falls. That's some kind of a heavy earthquake there, or explosion there. See, terrible. Well, God has prepared all these things, but at the same time, he's going to destroy Egypt, but at the same time, we're going to have a Passover. And the Lord told me that those 40 days that the ark sits upon the earth at the end of the 7 days, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the days of the coming of the Son of Man, are going to be a Passover. A Passover for the saints of God. It's a Psalm 91 Passover for the saints of God. You know, God is going to move his people to places where there's going to be safety, because there are people called we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And they will behold with their eyes the destruction of the wicked, Psalm 91 says. Therefore, they're going to see this. Like Noah in the ark saw the devastation of planet Earth, and the loss of mankind outside of himself and his family, these people that are in the spiritual ark of Jesus and who have been placed around this earth are going to see this devastation, but it's not going to come nigh them, as Psalm 91 says. It's not going to come nigh them because they are partaking of the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, because they believe Psalm 91. Well, I like very much the revelation, the mountain, where Demetri was asked, what do you think about this mountain? What is this mountain? That angel came to me and said, come with me, I'll show you what it will be like in America. Then he saw the ground erupt, the gas come out, the burning, and so on and so forth. He said, do you know what this mountain is? No, the mountain is Jesus, he said. Then he said, do you know who the people are who only made it halfway up the mountain and then fell back into the fire? No. They are the people who backslid away from Jesus. Then the vision ended, and I was back in front of the pastor's yard once again. So, you know, the people who are abiding in Jesus Christ, these are the people that are in the place of safety.